This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
In for Sean Pendergast this morning, I'm Sean Bajani along with Seth Payne. Got you till 8 o'clock this morning before we turn things over to Texans Radio. They'll get you set for a big game week. Coming up, of course, week 15, Texans and Dolphins at NRG. The Dolphins, Seth, coming off of a victory yesterday against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, 32-26. That was an overtime game. And, well, at least for some, who would have thunk it, right? The Fins looked literally dead in the water at a couple of different points yesterday. And I saw this on Twitter from Cody Stutes, and it drove me crazy immediately because I was checking into that game. Because, of course, you know, Texans play the Fins this upcoming weekend. And before we get into, you know, what kind of concerns you and intrigues you really about this game, Texans and Dolphins, I saw this tweet, and this was at 2:13 yesterday afternoon. And I think this is probably around the time of the game where the Fins at the time were losing 26-23 in the fourth quarter. This is a tweet from Cody Stutes. Quote, "The Dolphins could be close to opening the can of quit on the season if they lose to the Jets. It would be nice to have a downtrodden Dolphins team come to NRG Stadium next week for that game." And I just saw downtrodden. And I saw it, like, there's plenty of football left to be played at the time. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, I hate this mentality. It drives me freaking crazy for people that have this mentality. Here's where my mind went. You're telling me, like, the Jets right now aren't a downtrodden team? They're playing in a competitive game against a team that is fighting for their playoff lives as we speak at the time during that game. And it's the NFL, and they've got the quarterback. And, you know, did you not just watch, or are you watching the Panthers and Eagles right now? I mean, the Eagles were 14 points favorites yesterday, and they went down to the final possession and damn near lost. We could get to that one a little bit later on. That could have cost some individual in Kentucky a lot of money, but didn't. But that's just where my mind went. It's the NFL. You can't count anybody out. It doesn't matter what your record is. At this stage of the season still, especially for the Dolphins, they've got a lot to play for.
Well, even if the Dolphins had lost yesterday, as it stands right now, I think they still would have been the second team out of the playoffs. So, and they would have been one game behind the Colts still. So right now they're tied with the Colts at 6-7, but the Colts have the whatever tiebreaker it would be.
Yeah.
So yeah, for one, just strictly on the standing side of things, it's not like the Dolphins would be out of it. I think the other thing is, yes, it's the NFL, and we've already known, like, nobody's ever gonna just count a team out in any given Sunday just because they're out of the playoffs. But B, they'd be in the playoffs, and the difference with the Dolphins this year has been so stark between Tua and not Tua. They've been a horrendous offense without Tua Tagovailoa. In a lot of regards, they've been like a top five offense when they do have Tua Tagovailoa.
Not shocking. So,
yeah, for the players that might let go of the rope or what have you, it's different when you know you've got your quarterback. If you're out there and you're playing with Davis Mills, or you're playing with just some guy that you know is not the guy for the future, sure, perhaps maybe then there's a little bit more the distraughtness or what have you.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have I wouldn't have thought, oh, okay, the Dolphins, if they had lost this game, I wouldn't have thought, oh, okay, well, this will be an easy one coming in. We've learned this from the Texans. You have zero hope based on a team being out of the playoffs. The Titans' playoff percentage probability and everything had nothing to do with the Texans losing that game.
Right. Boy, Davis Mills catching a stray at 6:25 this morning.
I'm sorry, Davis Mills. It is what it is. Dang it.
Love it. So what do we have to fear from the Miami Dolphins? I know you've got a couple of thoughts on this, Seth, but here's where I'm at right now. In terms of this Dolphins team, I'm looking at a squad that could be coming into NRG with some renewed confidence this upcoming weekend. And the reason is, you are what you've done here lately. That's the momentum you're trying to build and carry over. And look, this was their first overtime game as an organization in almost 5 years. Now, the guys playing for the Dolphins right now don't give a rip about that. They don't care. That's just a little interesting stat nugget for us. But when you're coming off of a 32-26 victory, no matter who it is against, the fact that you did it in the fashion you did in overtime, one possession, 8 plays, 70 yards, and you go down and you win a football game with that said quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa, that's a huge boost, I think, for a team that is, again, literally fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah, I think if you look at the way they're constructed, the reason that the Dolphins make me really nervous is that, look, they have Tyreek Hill, they have Jaylen Waddle, mm-hmm. they haven't had incredible seasons or anything. Just go back to everything we said about with Tua. But Jonnu Smith, the tight end who ended up winning the game-sealing touchdown in overtime, he's basically got the same receiving numbers as both Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. They're all within 100 yards of each other on total receiving. They've all got between 11 and 13 yards per catch. Jonnu Smith has 5 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill has 5 touchdowns. But the Jonnu Smith factor and his ability, like he did on that final touchdown, to catch stuff underneath and across the middle because everybody's fixated on Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, that's a big concern for the Texans when you're down Azeez Alshire, when you've had to shuffle up your safeties. It was a safety that got beat by Jonnu Smith on that final play.
Yeah.
And that's where the Texans have struggled with that kind of stuff all year long defensively, even though they've been, you know, very good defensively. I'm extra concerned about it this week. That when Tua can get rid of the ball as quickly as he does, and when he does have that option to throw to a tight end, to throw to a running back, that's what the Texans, I think, are really susceptible to right now. So they've really just got to be nails everywhere else.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to as well with Devon Achane. You know, 6 catches, 45 yards yesterday. Tua getting rid of the football, you know, quickly. He threw it 47 times yesterday. And, you know, look, Achane didn't have a very good game rushing the ball, but when you're able to just kind of get him in space, that's what we try to talk about a lot around here with Joe Mixon. And what we'd like to see the Texans do a little bit more is, instead of just being so hell-bent on running the football with the guy, get him out into space, throw him the ball a little bit. Now that you don't have Azeez Alshire, do you worry about that from a defensive perspective, you know, from the Texans, like, where, okay, look, yeah, you've got Tyreek Hill and you've got Jaylen Waddle, you got Jonnu Smith, all these guys, weapons as pass catchers. You also have Achane as well.
Yeah, right. And I think that's where the one big thing that the Texans are lagging on defensively that's maybe the biggest disappointment for me is that they're not tackling well. And too many of the big plays are not just because of coverage gaffes, but because of poor tackling. Mm. And that's exactly where the Dolphins can get you, is getting rid of the ball quickly and then a guy having some space to run, getting yardage after the catch. You've got to worry about that from all those guys, but especially, obviously, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. So without Azeez Alshire, I think what I really get nervous about is the potential snowball effect. If a team's out there and they're running tempo against you, or they're just peppering you with so many pass attempts, you got to keep everybody on the right page and together. And then especially with the RPO game, that puts a lot of stress on linebackers. That takes a real heady linebacker that can get the reads, understand whether they're supposed to be in coverage or coming up and playing the run. And that's really hard to do. Christian Harris coming back could help in a lot of regards, but I'm still nervous about just having the guy that's the signal caller being in complete and total control. And if that has to be Neville Hewitt or if it has to be Henry Toa, that part just, it's not the same as obviously having Azeez Alshire.
It was noticeable to me when Alshire missed those 3 weeks earlier this season, week mm-hmm. 7 through 9. Texans were 1-2 during that stretch. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that Colts win was bookended by the loss to the Packers, close yep. game, and a loss to the Jets. And, you know, look, Neville Hewitt, Jake Hansen, there is reason for optimism, at least from my perspective, that now that you're having to go through this other stretch towards the end of the season without your linebacker, another leader on the field in Alshire, I got some confidence in that. You know what, Hansen and Hewitt and Henry Toa, who's playing better ball now, they can step in and fill that void. But this is the biggest stretch of the season. This is what you've had circled on your schedule all year long. When Alshire came back, Seth, one of the biggest differences that I thought anybody could tell if you watch this team with regularity is pre-snap, being in position, the communication, comfortability that guys have when both Jimmy Ward and Azeez Alshire are on the football field together. It's just a different beast for the Texans defensively.
Yeah, and I think that maybe one of the things you're going to see from the more from the Texans is maybe a more aggressive play calling. And D'Amico has done that this year. He's been a lot more aggressive yeah. than I thought he would be.
Yeah.
When you have Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley, it's a lot easier to do that. They sure. take care of a lot of the issues on the backside. So I think that, I mean, if you look at the linebackers right now, they've got athletes all over the place, especially if Christian Harris comes back. And you add Devin White into the mix, who's been, Devin White's been a lot of what he's been his entire career is, my gosh, he is fast. He can be an impact player, but you can't quite trust him to be in the right spot all the time. And I think D'Amico is going to look at that and think, all right, well, it is what it is. I don't know if I can trust these guys to sit back and play base defense and just go through their reads and always be in the right spot. So we're just going to blitz the crap out of teams.
Yeah.
And it's boom or bust, but if we can trust the cornerbacks to hold up long enough and if we can trust the blitz and the pass rush to get there, we could make some really big high-impact plays with these athletes we've got.
Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast this morning. You know, looking at the other side of the ball, because that's where a lot of the attention, I think, is naturally going to go this week going into this game against the Dolphins, who will be at NRG on Sunday, is from the Texans' offensive standpoint. Okay, you're coming off of this bye week. There were some things that clearly needed to be addressed, and you've had the time to do so now. You can put it into practice this week on the practice field. Are there 1 to 3 things maybe that you had in your mind that you felt like the Texans absolutely could? We know they needed to address a lot, but actually could address, and that we might be able to evidently see on Sunday that's evidence of change.
I think the biggest thing that I'd like to see is that maybe they figured out a couple things in the run game. And the one big glaring difference in the Texans and how they're running the football really has been, okay, how physical is the defensive line they're facing? Because I think the Texans' offensive line has done a better job on the mental side of things. They look like they actually know who they're supposed to be blocking. That's a big step forward for both Pop Warner football teams and the Houston Texans is, hey, know who you're supposed to block. So good job there. But it's not like they're all of a sudden road graders and that they can just drive guys off the ball. So it really comes down to, all right, picking and choosing who are you gonna pick on, who's the weak link on the opposing defensive line, and how can you get that guy exploited? Because I think Laremy Tunsil does a great job versus in the run game versus finesse players.
Yeah,
he doesn't do so hot versus big physical strapping dudes, and that's where you got to single out and figure. And some of this comes back on C.J. Stroud on understanding and conducting. Hey, where are we attacking in the run game? How can I check the play at the line of scrimmage, and when should I, based on what I'm seeing? I just hope I see a smoother operation in that regard. And I pick and choose your battles and figure out who you can actually physically handle on any given Sunday.
Yeah. We'll get to more of the Texans coming up a little bit later on in the show. We've got you till 8 o'clock this morning. Up next, though, after a wild and very busy weekend in sports. We'll get you caught up with it all in headlines. It's next. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, along with Seth Payne at Sports Radio 610. Keep it here.